did you deal with one another professionally at all?
He was a personal friend. We'd worked together at the NCDC. When he was on leave, I used to fill his position at the NCDC. I mean, it's that sort of relationship. And we got on well with Senate committees. I don't think there was any conflict or duplication of inquiry subjects.
Did you ever, was there ever any consultation between, say, the two of you and others about to try to avoid that kind of overlap of inquiries or duplication of inquiries?
Oh, there might have been. I don't recall. But I don't think there probably was from time to time, just to let people know what we were doing and where we were going. And I don't think so. We knew what they were doing, and I'm sure they knew what we were doing.
Were they also housed, incidentally, over in the old Hotel Canberra? Did they also have accommodation?
Oh, yes, they did. Oh, yes. Mm. Yeah. Oh, they were removed at the same time. Yeah. Oh, they were accommodated at the same time as we were. Mm. Yeah.
So during this period, so this was from 1977 onwards that you had that role.
Yes.
In between 82 and 83, I understand you were away from Old Parliament House, at least for part of that time.
Yes, the Fraser government had set up an inquiry into the future, into the role and functions of the National Capital Development Commission, set up under the Inquiries Ordinance of the ACT at that time, and the Department of Administrative Services, which was responsible for making arrangements for the committee's operations, approached the House of Reps to see whether there was someone here who might fit into that role. They were aware here that I'd worked with the NCDC in some 15 years earlier, 20 years earlier, and put my name forward, and Admin Services said okay, and so the arrangement was that I was loaned to the Department of Admin Services the secretary of that committee for the duration of its inquiry. We started the inquiry, and the committee was set up in June of 1982. We finished our task in July of the following year. You might remember that there was an election held between that period when the Fraser government was beaten and the Hawke government took over. But nonetheless, we reported, as we were required to do, to the then Minister for the Capital Territory, Tom Uren, at the end of the inquiry. The inquiry was, the chairman of the inquiry appointed by the government was Mr. George White, who was the architect of the Capitol in Washington, United States, and the two committee members were respectively Sir Rupert Myers, who had previously been Vice Chancellor of the University of New South Wales, and Professor Max Neutzer from the Australian National University. And I was the secretary, and we, Admin Services, recruited the staff as required. Once the committee met and determined what they were going to do about the inquiry and how they were going to go about it, we appointed staff from various places. I took with me from the House of Reps a typist and a stenographer, and Admin Services provided other staff. We were able to attract research staff as required, and appointed advisors from time to time to undertake the work.
So it sounds like a rather different type of inquiry to the ones.
Oh, totally different.
So what was it like from your perspective?
Well, we were located in the in construction house in Commonwealth in Northbourne Avenue. We had our own accommodation there. Once we got started, we received submissions from people like the NCDC and Department of Admin Services. The inquiry developed as we had quite a number of submissions from professional planning and organisations. The NCDC was very helpful to us in this, of course, because their very existence perhaps depended on it. And one of the very helpful people was the late Peter Leonard, whom I got to know very well during that time. We received submissions from groups like the Council of Social Service, the Real Estate Institute, the various colleges around, the Institute of Valuers, builders, owners and so on. A lot of people were interested in the work that the NCDC had done. I think the general consensus was that they didn't want to see the end of the NCDC. Because remember that the inquiry was set up mainly as a result of the efforts of the then Treasurer, Philip Lynch. And I think both he and the then Prime Minister were of a mind to get rid of the NCDC because they felt it was a bit of an impost on the Australian taxpayer. I don't know that for a fact, but I believe that was probably not far from the truth. So we took evidence we used the facilities of Construction House for public hearings. We made two trips outside of Canberra, one to Sydney and one to Adelaide, to look at refurbished accommodation and planning, their planning implications of on those buildings and the nearby environment. It took us probably until early in 1983 to really come to the conclusions that we wanted to. One of the complicating factors was that at that round about that time, Labor governments were talking about self-government for the ACT, and that was a complication. The recommendations of the committee took that into account, and I think they believed that they'd made adequate provision to cope for representation of the local community on the work of the commission, if that was the way to go. They didn't envisage complete self-government and the creation of two planning committees, but two planning organisations, believed that one planning organisation was what was required, and there ought to be an interface between the ACT's interests and the Commonwealth's interests.
What was your role like in this committee? Was it different to with other committees?
Oh, I got on extremely well with the members. We advertised the fact that there was an inquiry, and we sought interest from submissions from interested people. There's probably best part of 50 people, 50 groups mentioned who gave evidence or made submissions. Not all would have given evidence personally, but made submissions. most of that was done in Canberra, and we worked pretty hard at it. We employed a couple of advisors on particular matters, and that part of it worked well as well.
Mm. So did you have Hansard reporters to help you as well, taking evidence, recording the evidence?
Yes, we did, yes. It wasn't necessarily the Hansard workers from here. I think the Yes, it was. Yeah.
Mm. And did, given the perhaps the technical and detailed nature of the report, did you, in your, in the writing up the report, did you, was your role the same as it was with the other committee?
There was a lot of technical information that needed to be covered, and I was there in effect to make sure that it coped with the, what the committee wanted. I wrote quite a part of it, but the technical material was done mostly by the advisors, and I had there were half a dozen staff who were well equipped to do that sort of thing. We had some very good staff, and a couple on loan from the Department of Admin Services, and it was quite a very interesting enterprise.
So in terms of comparing this, your work with this committee with the other committees you worked with, was this one of the more interesting experiences you had?
Oh, it was. The contribution made by, because there were only three members, made by the members was very considerable. George White was quite interesting because of his American experience, but he also took the opportunity when he was in America, I think it was early in 1983, while he was in Britain, early in 1983, to have a look at some new town developments in Britain, and that made a reasonable contribution to the committee's deliberations as well. Yeah, there was nearly 10 members of the staff at various stages. They came and went a bit depending on what was required at the time.
How did you find, in a sense, this was such a much smaller group with a larger, perhaps greater use of experts and special advisors and others, compared to the normal parliamentary committee structure?
They had a very wide range of terms of reference.
Hmm.
Needed to cover a lot of ground, and a lot of possibilities could arise from the committee's conclusions. So it was necessary to explore those, to agree or disagree or whatever was required.
Hmm.
Now the contribution made by each of the members of the committee was remarkable. George White in particular.
One would assume that they would have to be rather more intensely involved than perhaps members of a large committee of 8, 9.
Oh, indeed.
Like the normal parliamentary committee.
Yes, no doubt about that.
Mm.
Oh, no, they each made it a personal, not going to say vendetta. They became personally involved in a way that the politicians would never become involved in. Because there were only three of them, and yes.
To whom did the committee submit its final report? To the minister?
To the minister, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Tom Urin was the minister at the time, yes.
Mm.
Yeah. I know, but the results of the committee's deliberations, I think that the deliberations in the event, looking back, were spot on.
Mm.
I mean, their advice was good. The government chose not to accept their advice, regrettably, and I think the results of around Canberra at the moment show it.
Mm. All right, Murray, perhaps I think this might be a good place to break because of your other commitments. So
time flies, doesn't it?
Yes. So why don't we stop here now, and we'll resume at a date to be agreed.
Okay.
Okay.